Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and we are currently in a series that Gary Cox has been doing about God-centered authority. And last week, Gary began a message to a group of homeschool moms about their role in the home, particularly in relation to their husbands, the concept of submission, and how a proper understanding of that role and of authority can be such a blessing in both the home and in the church that their family is a part of. Gary is going to continue that message as we hear part two of God-centered submission.
Now, just as a reminder, as the new school year started and underway, we really, really, really value you dads or your husbands. We value their role in the home. And Walkersville exists in every way to try to walk alongside the husband and the father and assist them under their authority. We're under your husband's authority. That's the way we've structured the school. And so we want them involved. We want accountability processes to be handled and perceived and understood so the dads are involved as much as possible. And it's deliberate. It's on purpose. Because here's what actually happens. This verse about woman being saved and childbearing. She's being allowed. You get a proper structure of authority and you remove from the wife certain kinds of responsibility that aren't hers, and she can thrive because she can give focus to the narrow, ordinary, daily things, give her whole being over to it, and she doesn't have the weight and the burden. And it's important. Now, women do have burdens, and they do have concerns, and do have issues. And there's a way that we have to learn how to go about doing that. Unfortunately, in the shortness of the time, I already reflected back on 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll just point there real quickly again. There's a way in which a woman can respond, even in a very, very difficult negative circumstance. And it's important that we understand that how we use our mouth. When it says the woman should be in silence, what it really means is the woman needs to learn how to have a meek and a quiet spirit. It doesn't literally mean that you never say anything. It means that you don't say anything in such a fashion where you're interjecting authority over your husband to get him to do what you want him to do. That's what it's meaning. And that no place at any time in your relationship as a Christian under God are you given license to declare orders to your husband. It's not going to happen. Never. You're called to be under with a vision of what God's doing. And so what I really want you to see is this. It's very hard to be a child. It's very hard to be a firstborn child. Firstborn children just amaze me. Now, maybe not every firstborn child's like this, but I've seen very few that aren't like this. Who are their first peers? Mom and dad. And it doesn't take them long to operate out of that. I'm just as good as my mom and dad. And mom and dad say something, and my opinion is as equal as theirs. And they give it. And stupid mom and dad sometimes get impressed with the insightfulness of their kids. I remember one of my kids once had always been really responsive and doing what I asked, and I tell him to take out the trash, and I was shocked. I discovered the trash wasn't taken out. And I said, I thought I asked you to take out the trash. Well, I was going to do that, Dad, but I got to thinking. There are dogs that roam around at night, tip over trash cans, make a big mess. And I thought, you know, it's more important. We'll just take the trash out tomorrow morning so the trash doesn't get dumped over. Now, this was a five-year-old kid telling me this. And you know what I did? My first instinctive response was, wow, that's really observant. That's really a good solution. And I started to praise my child for their wisdom. And the Holy Spirit miraculously caught my tongue, pulled it back in my mouth before I said anything. And I remembered, you know what? The most important lesson got missed. We didn't find God first and then operate under that protection of God. And so I gave my son, oops, I wasn't supposed to say who it was, but anyway, I wouldn't tell the girls to take trash out anyway, but anyway, gave my son a little lecture and I said, okay, here's what I want you to know. First of all, your reasoning is very mature for your age. That's very thoughtful and very mature. And I want you to understand something. As someone under authority, you are always going to have potentially better ideas than me. Because you've never been in authority before, you've never been in charge. And when all the weight and the heavy burdens of responsibility weigh on you, we need idea people. So it's those that are under authority that God often blesses with all the good ideas. So I'm thrilled that you had a great idea, and it's a wonderful idea. But now I want to practice the right way. How do we use these brilliant ideas so that we're always remembering where God is and we're always protected by His purpose and His plan? We're always submitting to God. So here's, go through the process again and do it right. So in the future, when Daddy says, empty the trash, you don't think to yourself, yeah, but it's better to empty the trash tomorrow, take the trash out tomorrow, because then the dogs won't get it. It's instead of just making your decision as if you have authority, recognize you can help your dad, you can help your authority by making a suggestion. And so here's how you would handle it correctly. Dad, do you remember how the dogs got in the trash last week? Okay? Ask a question that stimulates authority. I was thinking that a good way to prevent that might be if we take the trash out in the morning instead of leaving it out on the curb. So before I take it out, I just wanted to ask you that, but I am on my way to take the trash out right now. And so what we have here is this brilliant vibrancy, and you know what happens? There was a blessing, but there was also the stimulating, because we need to be stimulated first and foremost always of being under God's authority, finding God in our circumstance. We need to do that every single time. Where's God? Where's the circumstance we're under? Now, oh, I hate to see the clock tick, tick, ticking away. So what's the next slide say? Oh, next slide has another verse of scripture. Oh, I already did that one. Application. I got a few minutes for application. Now let's apply this back to life, okay? First of all, I have to give a little testimony. God is so kind to me. When I was saved on June 11th, on June 12th, God gave me this passage from 1 Corinthians 11, and it shocked me out of my boots. I could not imagine that the Bible would be so backward as to think that women are under their husbands. That just seemed so bad and so weird. And in God's perfect timing, my wife, Sally, had come to take me to the junkyard because I had wrecked my car, needed a ride to the junkyard to get parts. So I said, well, I'll make you breakfast if you pick me up. But you got to get here early. So we get breakfast going, and I had read my first quiet time. You know, children, the Word of God needs to be in your heart. But for it to be in your heart, you have to be already hungry for it. Do you know what 1 Peter says? Desire the sincere milk of the word. That means you let the hunger burn. I want to hear from God. And often the need that we have will direct. But I was a brand new Christian and I didn't know how to read the Bible. I opened to the front and there was no table of contents. I looked in the back for an appendix. There was no instructions on how to read the Bible. And I'm looking at all these pages. How do I know what to read for my devotions this morning? I have no idea. So I close my eyes and pray, "Oh Lord, find me a good passage for today." And I fanned the pages and poked at a passage, and it was 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm like astonished. So I tell my wife, oh, since she wasn't my wife yet, I ask her, I'm a new Christian, I said, how do you know what parts of the Bible are God's word and what parts of the Bible are men's words? Because I just want God's word. I don't care about men's words. Now, I've actually heard those very things coming back to me today from modern teaching in churches. That the Bible isn't God's word. Oh, there's a lot of men's words, and you have to discern what's God's word and what's just men's word. And you know, one of the passages they say that about is the one I read. And you know what my would-be wife said? Not that I knew if she would be yet. You know what she said to me? She said, "Wiley, it's all God's word. It's all God's word." Then I'm like stuck. So I asked a personal question because it was about her. "So what do you think about this?" And I read that passage about being under her husband's authority. "What do you think about that?" And I was like, gotcha. And you know what she said? She said, "I am so blessed. My God made me with a purpose. He has a plan for me, and I just rejoice that He loves me enough to give me something to do, and I am delighted to be a servant." And she was so excited to be a woman, I was jealous, and I wished I was a woman. I mean, immediately that was the jealousy came in. Wow, how come I can't be a woman? But I couldn't be a woman, so I had to be a man, so I had to start thinking about it. And as I thought about it, you know what I realized? Structure. When you have structure, then you have the capacity to operate under structure. And when you're operating under structure, then there's freedom and there's liberty. And the Lord gave me a vision. First of all, He gave me a vision that was my wife. That was the first vision. But as we were working on getting married, He gave me a vision that, you know, my job as a dad, as a husband, is to protect my wife so she can flourish in my home. Because my children need her. And she needs to be released. All her gifts, all her talents, all her, that needs to be released. And I need to be the one that safeguards and protects so that she can go to it. That was my vision getting married. And because of that, I realized, nobody told me this, but I thought, you know, it's probably not going to be possible for her to have a job because she needs to be home with all these kids. So I remember when we first were married, we didn't have any kids yet. And we moved to Bible college and we looked at each other and said, "I don't know, should you work or not? I mean, eventually you're not going to, but we don't have any kids right now." We didn't know the answer. So you know what we did? We did a lame, silly thing. We got on our knees and prayed. I say it's lame and silly because that's how the natural man thinks. That's how little we value prayer. We literally got on our knees and said, "God, we don't know whether Sally should work or not. And I need a job. So we ask for two things. Please give me a job. And we don't know whether Sally needs a job or not, so we're not going to look for a job for Sally. But if you want her to have one, would you give her one?" So we finished praying and the phone rings, and Washington Bible College, where I was going to college, called and offered Sally a job. "Okay, so you're supposed to work. All right." Got that job taken care of. And then 2 minutes later, Washington Bible College back with two job offers, and I had two jobs to choose from. After we prayed. Now see, when you have the vision that you're under God, my heart as a husband was one thing. I want to have a family that God wants me to have. And my wife is so important. The mother is so important. And I wasn't complaining, but I felt like, wow, I've got the harder job. I've got to be out. I've got to worry. I've got to make money. I've got to pay bills. and it's wearisome. And my wife gets to be home all the time and just enjoy serving and loving and sacrificing for the kids. But that's eternal. That's worth it. Are you getting a little bit of the point? Application. As we go through this year, and as you get your little pamphlet, it's really simple, and it's what we do anyway, but sometimes drawing attention to it makes it real. Engagement. Becky was talking about engagement learning at conference, and it's just a new term to help simplify something we've always been trying to talk about. But I want to give you a little definition for engaging. To engage, there's a Hebrew, or Yiddish, I think it's Hebrew, a Hebrew word called tzedakah. And that means to give support to one in order to strengthen him until he needs no longer be dependent on others. Wow, that sounds like motherhood and fatherhood if I ever heard of it. But it really is true. And in God's wonderful, glorious economy, he wanted to provide a safe place for wives and mothers to be tzedakah to their children. It's a privilege. And when we are homeschooling our families, what a privilege that we have. We're really hogging all the time that we can get during that little bit of time. We don't have forever. We just have now. And so we will serve until they no longer need serving. Now, I want to be honest in terms of truth, okay? It was wonderful to be saved at age 20. It was glorious because when you're young and you trust God and you make decisions like you ought to when you're young, you have a whole life to live it out. And I remember reading that passage in Matthew 6 that said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I remember reading that. And you know what God did to me? He gave me the grace to believe it. He gave me the grace to believe it. I quit my college at that point. I went back after I was married and finished Bible college. But I quit college and I wanted to learn a trade, work with my hands, because I saw Paul kept emphasizing, have a trade, work with your hands. This is a way that Christians take care of their families. We provide. If a husband doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. So I quit college and learned the building trade. And I trusted that God would use that. And I did something, students, that I want you to understand. What's more important, a good teacher or a good student? Who has an answer? What's more important, a good student or a good teacher? What's more important? Blurt it out. A good student. Oh my. That means that your homeschool situation is more dependent on the attitude of the child who wants to learn than it is on the ability of the child, mom and dad, who are trying to teach him something. Let me illustrate. I quit college so I could learn a building trade. I didn't plan on spending 20 years to learn a building trade. I wanted to learn it as much as I could right away. I was hired as a laborer on a construction crew. I didn't know anything, so laborers are the gophers. Go for this and you go for that and you go for something else. And they give you little jobs that nobody else wants to do. I didn't mind whatever I got. I just wanted to know, what am I doing, how come I'm doing it, and what's the best way to do it? And I had two bosses. One was a Christian and one was not a Christian. The Christian was kind of, I don't know what his problem was, but he never wanted to teach me anything. He would always contradict himself. I would say, well, how you may do it? I would do it a certain way, and he would catch me doing it the way he told me to do it. And says, don't do it that way, do it this way. So I change my way and do it that way. And then he comes back and says, don't do it that way, do it this way, which is the way I did it the first time. And I'm thinking, are you a Marine? Actually, I said it. Are you a Marine? He says, yes, actually, I was in the Marines, the Marine Corps. I said, I thought so. My dad told me about you guys. You're just plain rude. All you want to do is exercise your authority and make people squirm. I want to learn. Can I get on another crew? So I got put on the unsaved crew. And that guy wasn't a Marine jerk. He was, could care less about me. I'm just there. And I see him pulling a tape measure, pulling across 2x4, and he takes a little pencil and he makes little marks randomly on the board. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he doing? Marking up boards. So I asked him, I said, what are you doing that for? And he said, oh, do you want to learn? I said, yes, I want to learn everything. Okay, I'll teach you. And he explained to me what he was doing, why he was doing it, how he was doing it. I didn't have anybody wanting to teach me construction. But God gave me a spirit and a hunger. I want to learn construction. And I took very poor teachers to learn everything I could so that someday, if I needed to build, I could. And God, in his kindness, he's allowed me to do some building just in the process of need. I haven't done a lot of building, just building my own house, building my kids' house, getting to help with this church project. That was a lot of fun. But those are the things. But the point I want to say, children, if you want to learn, you can learn. Because it's the hungry learner that's engaged. And you know what learning is? Simply solving problems and bringing solutions. And so the next thing, three-step application, engage, enter under circumstance, reflect, evaluate the needs that are at hand that need to be resolved. Now, moms, I want you to understand something. You have no idea how powerful that gift is in you. You don't even know it. You just live and breathe. You're always evaluating what the needs and the dangers and the risks are to your family. It's there. And as soon as you see your husband, you probably have made this mistake at least once. You observe a need, your husband comes home and you say, when are you going to fix the blank? You know, your husband doesn't even have such an idea that there is a blank, let alone that it needs fixing. But did you hear what you just did? You defied the beautiful structure that God has created so you can thrive. You got out from under and you went on top and you said, when are you going to do this? You became the boss to your husband. And you know what that does to your husband? Oh, I can't speak to your husband, but I can tell you what it did for this husband. Leave me alone. I have so much on me, I can't do everything. It just creates this bristle battle. And it's important that we understand. And I'm not trying to give anybody an excuse, because everybody's sin is what you've got to fight, walk in humility to resolve. But here's the point. When you have observed needs, what do? There's three things you do. What does it say at the end of that sentence? Out loud, say it. Pray, study, ask. It is totally different when a husband finds a humble wife coming to him and saying, honey, I'm wondering, how could I solve this problem? There's a need that I'm seeing and I don't know what the answer is. Can you help me? Can you help me figure out how to solve this problem? That is an open door. You know, men love to be heroes. We love to swoop in and rescue, fix it. And so we just need you to call us up and ask us to fix it by asking how it can be fixed. But I want you to understand, I mean, when I say this ask, I'm giving you a scriptural command that is full of delicious blessing and grace from God to cause prosperity in your home. Because when you go home and ask your husband, it's the kind of process where you gently ask to bring up the issue and you pray with your husband. And you study what are mechanisms, what are needs, what are the problems that we're really trying to solve. And we solve it and we fix it as a team. But I wanted to start the session with this question. I'm so overdue. How long am I going to be with you? Oh, that's not my question. I highlighted and I didn't read it. How many wives wish for more input from their husbands into their children's lives? You can raise your hand. How many wives wish for more input from their husbands into their children's lives? You may raise your hand. And if you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. I've been a pastor too long. It's the number one desire. And mastering the Lord's order, how to ask, that's how you bring him in. It opens a door that's not easily opened, and it helps the husband bring some of that order. And then act. The last thing is to act. Take action in a proper direction and authority to solve the needs at hand. Now, since there are a couple husbands here, let me give you a tip. You have to learn how to listen to your wife when she is hard to listen to. You've got to learn to listen in humility. You have to be that one that recognizes, you know, she's under stress, instead of you saying, well, I'm under stress, which is my flaw. And you have to recognize, we have wives that are wired with need. And the scripture tells us in Genesis 3 that it's going to happen. The desire of the woman for her husband is going to be there, and it's going to press in. And the husband has to learn how to live her with knowledge and bring order to those concerns in an understanding way. He's got to. But in that process, if we could just take off the first shade of offense, because our wives may come at us in a way that's offensive to us, but if we could walk by being what? A child in malice. I'm not going to go to the mat to fix the rudeness problem. I'm going to go to the Lord to fix what the bigger problem is. And you recognize that when your wife is talking to you, there's something she needs to hear. And I'll just say this in terms of practicality. Often, I would talk with my wife between the hours of midnight and 2 in the morning. She's asking me and sharing with me the concerns of the household. And as I'm listening and not being offended, and I'm asking questions to get more information and insight, I usually said, this was just the way I did it, I said, well, what do you think about this solution? And I craft out a little action plan. Tomorrow when I get home from work, I'll begin doing this, yada, yada. And she, oh, that's great, that'll be wonderful. This happened many, many times. I come home the next day and I'm ready to get to work on that action plan. And I asked my wife, okay, so we were gonna, oh, I already did that. And I experienced that flourishing. Listening, talking, praying, coming up with the plan. I so empowered my wife. I so gave her vision and energy and hope that she did it. And the shocking thing was, I understand why wives are moms and not dads. Her love and her devotion mixed with that clarity of vision and structure, and she went to work. She was released with full salvation to minister to her family. And I'm just awestruck how God does it.
Well, we've just been hearing a message by Gary Cox in regards to biblical view of submission and the relationship between a husband and wife when it comes to authority in the home. And Gary has just reminded us that husbands have a job in this just as much as the wife does. What a testimony to God's design for how the family works. If you'd like to hear the entirety of this message, you can do so at WTHU.org. Go to the audio vault and look for us, Family by Design, the banner, and click there. You'll find all our previous broadcasts, including this one. If you'd like to contact us with any thoughts or comments or suggestions for what you'd like to hear on the program, you can do so by emailing radio@wcfs.org. EDU. Well, we're going to continue our series on authority next week as Gary brings a message regarding God-centered obedience. We hope you can join us then as we come back next week to continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.